my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. This is Bicycle Talk, episode 436, be broadcast on Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025, on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. She's off to work because we are getting ready to head out for the weekend, and she had to make up some patient days. Anyway, Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and you're listening on Facebook Live, you can comment right down here below in the box, or you can also send me an email at bicycletalk@gmail.com. That's bicycletalk@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. I will try to comment back if I can, if you are listening live, but I can't guarantee it because Fran's not here today. So we're just going to take emails instead. That would be great. So let's move on here. So I was just reading this while I was trolling on the internet, and the comment was, this is Ron's rant of the week, roads are for cars, taking away lane space for bikes causes traffic jams. Scofflaw cyclists are endangering everyone else on the road, and they don't even pay their fair share for all that asphalt. That's a big sigh, a very audible sigh, and that is because, you know, what can we say? And if all things were as they may be, we would say, you know, happy April Fool's Day, because that's coming up tomorrow. But no, it's not an April Fool's joke. It's just there is a clever little video that is on Street's blog, and it is from Urbanscape Owen, debunking these and other common myths about the role of bicycles in our cities, all in just about 5 minutes. The top reasons why people won't ride bicycles. Yeah, I'll talk about that a little bit more on the show. Anyway, check out the video. It's on my YouTube channel. It's also on my Facebook page, so you can check it out and see what you think. And, you know, it's kind of more of the same. We hear a lot of this all the time, especially if we're a cyclist. But, boy, you know, people just, they just have such a hard time accepting bicycles. Very, very unfortunate, because, you know, bicycles are, we're here to stay, folks. We are here to stay, and we are here to grow. And we will grow, because we are more self-sustaining than other modes of transportation, and also we are healthier and we are better for the environment. And I you know, this is Bicycle Talk. This is what I talk about. I like talking about this. Anyway, on a positive side, Franny and I are off to Chicago this weekend to see my son Greg get married. Yeah, Greg and Amanda's wedding is this weekend. We're flying out to Chicago for a few days, and it'll be a real fun time, I'm sure. I'm expecting not a typical and normal wedding, just because it's my son and he doesn't do things typical and normal. And that's cool. That's why it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Anyway, that's the only positive side I have right now. The next thing I have on my list, though, are Mechanical Minute and Ron's tips for the week. And so here's one. Most people buy cheap bicycles. They're also deconditioned from any real stamina and endurance for physical activity. This means those cheap bicycles are most likely to make their lives of limited usefulness as garage ornaments, or, you know, clothing racks, or whatever you want to do. Cheap bikes are heavy. They lack quality components. They are like the owners. They have very poor endurance. So people mistakenly buy cheap bikes because they go, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to get out. I'm going to ride my bike. I've been listening to Pedal and Ron and on Bicycle Talk, and I'm inspired and I am ready to go. And that's all well and good, but if you do it on a cheap bike, you're going to get very disappointed very fast. And it's unfortunate, but you're better off to buy a used bicycle that was a bicycle shop quality than you are to buy a really cheap bicycle that you might find at a mass merchant, let's say. Be real careful, and be careful on the internet too, because they also sell cheap bicycles. So once again, you're probably a whole lot better off if you could just buy something that is going to be a reconditioned used bike, possibly from a bicycle shop, so you have some assurance with that, maybe a little guarantee. Start out right, and you'll get hooked on this sport, and it's a good thing, and you'll really, really appreciate it. Or maybe take that old bike that's sitting down there in the shed, garage, barn, wherever, basement, and get it fixed up, and you'll be a lot worth it. You'll be a lot happier. And yes, that the other thing that people make a mistake on that I like to help people with and try to correct them is, don't buy a wide bicycle saddle. Don't do it. You know, you think you're sitting on a bench, but what you're really doing is something like more like walking on your pedals. It means that the most comfortable saddle is the one that lets you move your legs most naturally, and that saddle is going to be narrower. Yeah, you need some padding, but don't put it in the saddle. Put it in a good pair of cycling shorts. They really, really make it worthwhile, and they are worth every penny. So, wide saddles are another thing that people make mistakes with. And most people try to start a fitness program in the wrong way. So, frankly, I've heard too many horror stories from people about trainers who reinforce this bad approach. Go slow. Start out slow. How slow? 5 minutes, three times a week might be a good start. That's a good idea for some of the least conditioned people. Double that the following week. Double that again for the next week. To 20 minutes. Now you can start measuring miles or kilometers. And I don't even put miles down. I go by time. That's it. I'm not a big mileage freak. I think that if you focus on keeping your limitations down to the amount of time you're spending on the bike versus miles, you won't get crazy with it and say, well, I did 10 miles yesterday, so I have to do 12 miles today, the next time I get out. It's a trap. It's a big trap. Go by time. Go by the 10% rule. The 10% rule is really simple. No more than 10% more than the last time you did it. Simple? Sounds simple, doesn't it? Do the math. It may only turn into, you know, 3 or 4 more minutes on the bike. But, you know, that's the idea. And if you don't know how to gauge that, another way of doing that is you can do what I commonly refer to and particularly hate, but, you know, when you're first getting started, it certainly is understandable. The old out and back, in which case you would ride out X number of minutes, and then you would turn around when you got halfway, and you'd ride back, and then you would have almost exactly the number of minutes you were looking for on the bike. Not particularly my favorite. I prefer big loops. I hate riding on the same road twice in one ride. It's just kind of a weird thing. It's a Ronism, I'll admit it, but I love loops. I hate out and backs. So people who try to start at whatever distance and go for a half a day and feel terrible, it's just really not a good idea. Hey, I'm going to go ride my bike today. How far are you going to go? Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to go spend the day on my bike. Problem. When was the last time you spent the day on your bike? Now, if you're a listener to Bicycle Talk, that may have been yesterday. because we do have some very, very dedicated fans out there who love to ride their bikes, and to spend a day on a bike is a day well spent. So anyway, in summary, most people buy crappy bikes. Most people are in bad shape, and they don't have basic equipment like shorts and gloves. They ride too far, too fast, and come home in pain. And then they decide that they aren't cut for cycling. And if they had good equipment and decent bikes, eased into a riding program, they'd feel very different. So be careful if you're getting into this bicycle thing. It can make you or break you. And I'd much rather have it make you, because it's just so much fun once you get going. So anyway, let's move on. I've got some things I was going to discuss back here on my rant, but we'll get to that after this, because I was poking around and I decided that I was going to put this in Mechanical Minute, but I'm just going to put it right into the content. Bicycle rear lights and radar. Are you thinking about it? I'd like to give you a little bit of feedback here. So there are a variety of different bicycle rear light radars that are out there. And I think that there's, I have a list here of the five best radars and the ones to avoid. Enhance your safety on the road. I talk about this one a lot. And the reason I talked about this one a lot is because it completely is a game changer when it comes to your safety on the road, and also your ability to communicate with the drivers that are out there on the road too. And this goes back to that original rant of the week. People say, hey, you don't belong on the road. Well, you do belong on the road. You are transportation, and you are also a taxpayer. Therefore, you are qualified to cover yourself as far as your financial responsibility to contributing to the asphalt that you're riding on. The one thing that you don't have is the ability to ruin the roads the way heavy vehicles do. Fran and I were driving back on Bassett's Bridge the other day after going out and running some errands, and I noticed that, you know, our road, boy, this, we've had a winter. And because we've had a winter, it's been very cold. And when you get very cold weather, whether you get snow or ice or any rain or anything that along with it, which we did get also, the roads just are really beat up right now. So be careful if you're out there riding your bike right now, because the roads are strewn with potholes, and they are dangerous. If you were to put your tire into one of those holes, you could cause yourself some either aggravation or possible danger. So please, 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 please be careful. But let's go back to those rear lights, because boy, I do like those rear lights. There are just some great lights out there. And let's see here. So I have a little piece here. This is from cyclistshub.com. The five best cycling radars and the ones to avoid to enhance your safety on the road. So starting with the big winner here is the one that started it all, the Garmin Varia. And the Garmin Varia is made by a company called Garmin, who makes radars. They make GPS devices for all sorts of equipment, boats, planes, automobiles, and bicycles. So lots of different GPS devices out there that Garmin makes. And Garmin also was the first one to develop the rear radar and lighting system. And they kind of set the standard when they did that. Of course, then a little ways down the road, probably, it really took about 3 or 4 years, there were other companies that came into play, and they started making a similar product, some with different features, some with different prices. I'm not mentioning prices on the show because we're not supposed to do that, but I can give you a rough idea about, you know, what's involved in getting into a good radar light in the back of your bike. I would say, just like anything else, buy what you can afford, and the more you spend, the better you will get. So we'll just leave it at that. The Varia RTL 515 was probably one of the first ones on the market, and it's reliable. It works really well, and it's a great light. And we have one of those, and we have a different one too, because I wanted to try out different ones out there. So anyway, there are a number of things here. Okay, let's see here. Best radars are, they got to be reliable. Okay, that means they won't give you false negatives, and they won't alert you about, that means it won't alert you about an incoming car. And you should have a tail light with a battery life of at least 6 hours if you can get it. And they need to be waterproof and dustproof. So those are really, really good things. Ideally, you shouldn't have too many false positives, but all radars give you a false positive. Sometimes your radar will go off on your bike. I sync mine to my bicycle computer, which is on my handlebars. Some people sync them to their cell phones, and you, if you're using a program, you can sync it to that too, and then you can see when there's something coming up behind you. It's kind of cool. So the main features on the Varia are false positives or almost none. It's not 100% true, but it's pretty true. They're reliable and proven. They're excellent multi-object detection. They have good battery life, excellent light visibility, improved side visibility as well. Smartphone compatible, only USB, micro USB charging point, no light modes, and customizable. And technical aspects on it are that it has 6 hours of solid battery life, 8 hours depending on which mode you use, because you can set them for different modes, so that's kind of cool. So your real battery life is really about 9.5 hours on a flash mode. That's why I run mine out all the time. I just keep it on flash. That way I've got the flashing light in the back, but the intensity of it, of course, changes when you have a rapidly approaching car behind you. And yeah, you can have a problem with it with if you're on a group ride and you got a bunch of bikes coming up behind you, it's going to pick them up. It's going to let you know, hey, there's somebody back there. And, you know, if you are like me and you run a rear view mirror on your bike too, I have a little tiny one, just fits in the end of the handlebar. Then I can always glance down at that if I know that I hear something coming. I always use the mirror too to verify it and double check it, because you can't be too safe. So it's the reliability of this light is excellent, and Garmin claims to have up to a 1 mile of radar distance on it. Not entirely true. And how many times are you on a road where you will be riding your bicycle and you will have a mile of space behind you that's straight as an arrow so that the radar can pick up? So, you know, that's going to be odd in many cases. Maybe if you're on a state road, don't do that. Dangerous. Don't even get me started. You've heard me rant about that one so many times. Roads with names, not numbers, are much safer to ride on than the big, heavy state roads with the huge, wide shoulders that people can fall asleep in their cars and accidentally drift over, or they can fiddle with their cell phones and not have to worry about anything and then accidentally drift over. Well, you're in that drift over place, so stay away from it. I prefer back roads with lots of winding and twisting, because the driver actually has to pay attention, or my good friend Mr. Oak Tree or Mrs. Elm or Cousin Stonewall will take care of that problem very, very quickly. So that's how I feel about it. So they say that it can detect multiple cars up to 140 meters away. And, you know, it seems like that's really stretching the truth a little bit. But I would say a quarter mile is pretty dependable. that if a car is coming up on you and they're a quarter mile back, you're going to pick them up right away. So I've had very little issues with that. There's another one called the Brighton Guardia R300L. And that is what we would consider, and I actually have it earmarked because I might have to try one of these out because I don't have this one. It is the best budget cycling radar. Some kind of cool things about this one, which I sort of like, is that it is it has on this reviewer's site here, false positives were several per ride. I think that's pretty much on anyone I've ever used. Affordable, boxy design, smart brake sensing. This is kind of cool. It will sense when you are slowing down on your bike, and it'll brighten the light in the back to let anyone behind you, be it a cyclist and or a car, know that you're slowing down, which is kind of like a brake light on an automobile or a truck, which is kind of cool. So it gives you very good side visibility, decent multi-object detection, which the multi-object detection, by the way, is when you have one of these things on your bike, you'll see over on the left-hand side of your screen on either your cell phone app or on your computer, on your handlebars, you'll see a little screen, a little line, and that line indicates a road, and you'll actually see a car in that little animated car in that little line. And that, if there are more than one cars behind you, it'll show you multiple cars in that little screen. It'll also change color. And if you have the audible part on, it will actually beep too, to let you know that someone's coming up behind you. And you should know about that. So anyway, excuse that. That was unacceptable. Anyway, so that is kind of a cool thing. This one also has 8 hours of solid light on it, 11 hours or 17 hours night flash, and 17 hours of day flash. So that's a lot longer battery life on this one. So a real battery life is 11.6 hours on flash mode. So, you know, they tested these. This is where this all came from. There's no camera on the back or anything like that. They do make radars with cameras, so you can actually see a car coming up behind you, or you can hook it in and record the car coming up behind you too. Relative detecting speed, 10 to 120 kilometers. That's 6 to 74.5 miles per hour. That seems odd. App can replace a computer, yeah. Connectivity is ANT plus Bluetooth, and charging port is a USB-C. So it's a very good value. I was very impressed with the cost on this. And once again, I'm not mentioning prices on the show because we're not really supposed to do that here at WHUS, so we're not doing that. It has a very, very sturdy mount, and that's great if you're riding on chunky roads, gravel roads, cobbles, wherever you might be where the roads are not so secure underneath you. And there is a smartphone app with it, which is simple and intuitive, and it allows you to replace the bike computer. So anyway, it's kind of an interesting little light, and it's very, very versatile. So and then we go on to the Garmin Varia RCT715, and that's the best cycling radar with a camera. And this one will actually, you can use it as a camera. False positives are almost none. The only radar with taillight and camera. And it's got a 1080p footage, but it's very poor quality. It's pricey, and it's excellent for multi-object detection. And once again, battery life is short on this, really almost 5 hours in a flash mode. And reason is because you're running a camera too at the same time. So you're going to have that. But so if you're out on a really, really long ride, that can be nice to have the camera. But if you're spending 8 hours or 9 hours on your bike, you're going to run out of juice on the radar, which makes it ineffective. So it'll detect speeds from anywhere from 6 to 99 miles per hour. And you can replace it with a bike computer. Yeah, you can use it with that. It's a USB-C port. So it's the first and still only device that combines a radar, camera, and taillight functionality. So that's why it gets rated as the best cycling radar with a camera, because it's the only one out there. So if that's something you feel you really need, that's great. I tell you, if you ride in a lot of traffic and you've got issues with cars and they tend to want to eliminate you from the road with their aggressive and bad behavior, it might be good to have a camera, because you'll at least have a plate number before they hit you or try to hit you. Yeah. So anyway, it could be good for that sort of thing, for sure. I know more and more people that are riding with GoPro cameras on their bikes now, because people that ride in heavy traffic, and they just record all their rides, and just in case, because then they've got a detailed evidence of the person who is playing aggressively with an automobile, which you should never do. Two things you should never play aggressively with: an automobile or a motorized vehicle, or a handgun or a rifle or anything. They're both deadly. Not good. Don't play. Please don't play. So anyway, that's another one. There's another one called the Majin L508. And I actually have one of those. And I tried one of those last year because I wanted to compare it to the Varia that we had. And it's pretty good. It's definitely got more false positives, I would say. It's a little more affordable, for sure. The new one, which I don't have, I have an older one, has the smart brake sensing. So that's kind of cool, because like I said, if you start slowing down, it actually senses that and brightens a rear light on the bike, which is kind of cool. And Its battery life is, if you're using it radar only, it's 19 hours. If you're running the flash mode, it's about 7.5 hours is what you're looking at. So it'll go on a long ride, and it's good. It's good. I can't say anything negative about it. It will work with your cell phone, so you can use it in conjunction with your cell phone. It's a USB-C port for recharge, which is really sweet and helpful. And it was probably the very first non-Garmin bicycle radar. And it was just a little bit more affordable, and so that's why I figured I'd give it a try. They do some other interesting lights too besides this one. It's an interesting company, so it's certainly something you can check out. And it never really misses cars coming up behind you, but I do sometimes get false positives. So, you know, it shows a car and there's no car, but that's just an inherent problem with these things. Sometimes they're like that. Who knows what sets them off? I don't know. But once again, I use a small mirror in conjunction with this, and that solves that mystery. Because you know right away that, you know, there's obviously something back there if you can see it in your mirror. And I'm a big believer in the mirror, too. I will say that my advanced years have taught me some things that make me a whole lot safer on my bicycle when I'm out riding my bicycle. And I'm not really adverse to putting these things on my bike, because they just make a lot of sense, and I feel a lot more comfortable when I'm out there. I'm probably going to introduce something else when we're going to get into the Taipei show here a little bit and in a little ways into the show. And I'll tell you another thing that I'm going to try out real soon. And once I do, I'll give you a review on that too. But anyway, the IGP Sport, and this apparently has the best battery life in a cycling radar. And it's... It says here, false positives, many per ride. So maybe that's why the battery lasts longer, because it doesn't work that much. It does have smart brake sensing. It has decent multi-object detection, improved side visibility, has an auto sleep feature. That's probably why the battery also lasts longer. And it remembers the last mode you used. The mount is what they call it, unstable, but... which is a little weird, and short duration of the light pattern change when overtaking. So the light doesn't flash for very long when a car is coming around you. But here we go. 8 hours solid, 12 hours flash, 15 hours breathing, whatever that means, and 18 hours of night flash, 20 hours radar only. And the real battery life is 16.9 hours in flash mode. So, it goes for a long, long time. It can detect traffic coming up for anywhere from 10 to 120 kilometers per hour or 6 to 74.5 miles per hour. And you can use it with your cell phone also. Connectivity is ANT and Bluetooth and a USB-C charge port. So it has LEDs on the sides compared to the Majin light that I spoke about just before this. So it gets a little bit more side visibility as far as that goes. And it doesn't change to flashing mode for the whole time that you're overtaking, only for a few seconds. Its mount also tends to slip on the seat post, in similar to the Varia, which was one of the comments about the Varia that the tester did not like, because the Varia's mount is not as secure. I have not felt that, but, you know, I think I've got the Varia. I think it's sitting on Fran's bike right now. And then I've got the Majin. So, but they're good. Everything is good. And so which radar should you avoid? Well, there's some stuff out there that's not as good. So you got to be careful of different levels of probably price point radars. And we can go down. Let's see if they actually have a list here. Let's see if they show it on the bottom. But I'm going to have to jump back up. Nope. So the ones to watch out for are what is this called? I'm trying to find it on my list. It is... down here. This is the Tutulu W100. It gave this tester a lot of false negatives. So that's why he included it in not the best ones, the ones you might want to avoid. And the next one on the list here is the Trek Carback, which undelivers in some aspects, light detection and distance accuracy. Never gave me a false negative or false positive, but it's inconsistent in detection distance. So the reviewer was not big on that one either. Another one is the Magic Shine R300. And again, it gives too many false positives, so it can't be relied on. If you're going to do this, make sure you get one that actually works. It truly is going back to, you know, decent bicycle and bicycle shorts and seats and all that from earlier in the show. So why do you want to use a radar? The increased awareness contributes to better safety on the road. Since I started riding with a radar, I will say that I ride on a lot of back roads, and a lot of the back roads I ride on are narrow, and they are bumpy, and the shoulders tend to be a little beat up because of, you know, just they're back roads. They're not as well maintained as some of the main roads are. Sometimes we get lucky and the pavement gods come out and lay us down a brand new track of nice new road, but it doesn't happen as often as it happens on the big roads. But since I've been using radar, I have learned that I no longer ride and hug the edge of the road. I ride out on the center line. The reason I ride out on the center line is because I can be seen better there. And that immediately tells the driver that's coming up behind me that I'm there. I'm in the road. They can see me. I got a flashing light going on behind me. The minute my flashing light detects them, it flashes a little faster. There's definitely a good reason for being out there. As soon as my radar tells me that I have someone behind me, I will then veer over to the edge of the road and give the driver plenty of room to get by, unless there is a car coming the other way. And if there is a car coming the other way, I signal back to the driver without even having to turn around. I just hold my left hand back in like a stop mode, and I let them know that I know they're there. And I also stop them from passing me when there's an oncoming car, so nobody gets themselves in either a head-on collision situation where two automobiles run into one another, or squeezes me off to the side of the road to the point where I, being the vulnerable user, am going to be the one that takes the impact there. That's not good. So, you know, you can use these things. It's a great tool. It really is, once you learn how to use them. And once you learn how to communicate with the drivers, it's a silent communication because they can't hear you. They can only see you. So if you can give them a visual, which tells them that you're being responsible and you're out there to help everyone, not just yourself, and hog the road, it makes a big, big difference. So that's why I love them. And it just makes a huge difference in my feeling of safety on the road. I've had people comment to me about it, and they are really impressed with the fact that, you know, I can communicate with them. I'm a big believer in communicating with cars when in traffic, and whether they're coming at me or whether they're behind me. I really like to let them know what I'm doing, because that's one of the biggest complaints that people have about cyclists, is that they're all over the road, they're wiggling, but I don't know where they're going, I don't know what they're going to do, and I get really nervous when I get behind them. Yeah, well, it's because you're riding behind someone who is not a good cyclist, and that can be a problem, because the quality of the rider that you're passing usually can be detected by how straight a line they're riding. That's why I tell people all the time who ride bikes, you need to straighten up your act. You need to get as straight as you can when you're going down the road. Learn to ride looking 6 to 10 feet in front of you and find that focal point, stay focused on it, and you will ride a straighter line when you're going down the road. Also, if you are using a relatively quick cadence, you tend to be smoother on your bike and therefore ride a straighter line. So these are just some simple, simple things as far as that goes. So we're going to go back to those drivers. Let's go back to those drivers and why the drivers don't like us. Okay. It's really easy. They think we're in their way, and sometimes we are, and sometimes we belong there. And most of the time, I should say, we belong there. But if we don't behave properly, you're going to get drivers that are just going to assume that you're some idiot on a bicycle and that your purpose in their life is to make their day go bad. Now, their day probably went bad a long time before they showed up behind you, but that's another thing that you have to just kind of breathe through and deal with. You're using the lane of traffic which they would like to be using, and they would rather have you on the shoulder, but sometimes the shoulder is not the best place to be because it's got glass all over it, or there's potholes on it, or lots of sand. And so first and foremost, you have to make sure that you take care of yourself when you're out on the bike to be safe. But this particular one was, I was in my car this morning and saw this gentleman using almost half the right lane. I slowed down to match his speed and waited to pass. Good. Wait to pass. Good idea. Even as a fellow cyclist, this can be annoying. I understand that. But at the same time, you have to understand there might be other things going on, and that if you have to wait 10 seconds or so to get around this person, it's not a lot of time out of your life. You can deal with 10 seconds. 10 hours, that's a problem. Even an hour can be a lot of time out of your life. But, you know, 10 seconds, everybody's got 10 seconds. And, you know, I've done shows on this before. The average amount of time it takes to get around a cyclist on the road when you're trying to pass them, the average amount of time is 33 seconds on the average, because sometimes you get right around them, no problem, and you're not even spending more than 3 or 4 seconds to get around them. And sometimes you have to wait for a minute to get around them. It happens. So anyway, this is the patience of the American motorized vehicle driver is one that is tested every single time they get into their vehicle. I'm not going to say that we're the ones that are responsible for that, but we do contribute to it. So you have to do that. And they're not always super happy with seeing us out there. And there's a site here from California, why some drivers hate cyclists and what we can do about it. Well, first things first, you can straighten up your act, clean up your act, ride better, ride smarter, and ride with authority when you're out there on the road. So there was, this one was from a California site, a driver intentionally plowed into a small group of cyclists out of frustration and rage, at least that's what they were told, and thankfully no one died. As this person recalls, though, at least one rider was taken to the hospital, one of his fears when on the bike, if not the greatest, road rage. Well, road rage happens whether you're on a bicycle or whether you're in another motorized vehicle. We had an incident here in Connecticut about a week ago, and someone road raged with a gun, and they were mad at the other driver, and they felt that it was their responsibility to take the other driver out by shooting them. Road rage happens. There can be many reasons why it happens, and there's some drivers are just naturally aggressive and angry when they get in their cars. It's very, very unfortunate. And what's really unfortunate is if they create an incident of sorts and then they do it again, that they still have their licenses. And that's a problem. And they should be, you know, reprimanded for that and lose their license for at least a short period of time and be required to take a driving course. Or my favorite thing is make them ride a bike so they get to feel it and see it and be part of it. And they'll change their mind when they have an F1 bazillion going by them at 60 miles an hour and buzzing them super close. They'll figure it out. But anyway, there also are some cyclists, this person says, that are duty heads. Yeah. And this friend's son had coined that term. In any case, you know, what can be done for someone who's just that way by nature is just give them a wide berth and let them figure out the rest. But don't ride irresponsibly. If you're on the road, it's a responsibility to be out there on the road. It's also a privilege to be out there on the road. And do I feel because I'm a bicycle on the road that I'm more privileged than the person who's driving the car? maybe just a little bit because, you know, I'm that guy. But, you know, I feel like I'm doing my part to either A, keep myself fit and healthy, B, save the planet, and C, not destroy the roads. But, you know, that's a personal elitist issue, and I probably shouldn't be that way. But, you know, I'm a bike guy. I like bikes. I like bikes. I believe in bikes, and I believe in sharing the road with them. So if you know riding a bicycle, this is from a California code. A person riding a bicycle operating a pedicab upon a highway has all the rights and is subject to all of the provisions applicable to the driver of the vehicle. Driver of a motor vehicle shall not overtake or pass a bicycle proceeding in the same direction on a highway at a distance of less than 3 feet between or part of the motor vehicle or any part of the bicycle or its operator. You have to understand, it's not their fault. They just don't know. They have no idea. When I have had confrontations with motorists and I've talked with them about, did you know that there's a 3-foot law? Did you know that I have the right to be on the road as much as you do? Did you know that I pay taxes that pay for the road that you drive your heavy vehicle on and ruin by driving a very heavy vehicle? They don't know these things. They really don't, because there's not enough information out there. But boy, if there could be, that would be really, really useful and helpful. So, take it for granted that the driver of the motorized vehicle has no clue about how things work or what the rules of the road with. I was at a rest stop on a bike ride one day, and there was a state police officer there. He was a resident state trooper in a town I won't mention, is nearby, and he was a resident state trooper, and I just started talking to him, just because I talk with everybody. And I started talking to him about, do you have like a list inside your car of the, you know, the rules of the road for cyclists or anything like that? He goes, no. And I went, really? And I said, maybe that's something you guys should like go over and maybe have like a weekly meeting about or something. But did you know that? And I went down my list of my things that I talk to motorized vehicle drivers about when they confront me. And he knew half of them, but not all of them. So sometimes even the officer that shows up to the incident is not aware of the fact that that 3-foot law is a $100 fine. All right. Now, if they hit you, they violated the 3-foot rule. If they hit you, you may be alive or dead. So that's not a good thing. But anyway, they'll at least get a $100 fine. No, they don't always, and if you don't pursue it, they probably won't get that $100 fine, even if they were in the wrong, because most law enforcement does not know the law, not that law. So they know other laws, they know laws with other motorized vehicles versus motorized vehicles, but they don't necessarily know other vehicles versus motorized vehicles. So you got to kind of give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You just never know. So, you know, you want to participate in your community, maybe put some feedback out there, emphasize and talk to people. And, you know, don't be a distracted cyclist. You know, don't look at your phone while you're riding your bike or driving your car down the road. Just don't do it. Go to local events that aren't cycling oriented and show that you actually care and show up on your bike. And people might come up and question you and go, wow, you came here on your bicycle? Aren't you afraid to ride that bike? And then you can say, well, actually, I'm not. And here's why. And, you know, you can be a little self-righteous. It's okay. That's not a bad thing. My big one, though, and I love this one, and I had this conversation with my friend Amber Pierce, who is a now retired professional cyclist, and we both are really, really strong advocates of this. Smile and wave more often. It sounds simple, but most riders don't do it enough. Most riders, some riders, don't even smile and wave to you when they're passing you the other way on your bike. I don't understand that mentality. Just, hey, where about riding my bike? Hey, how you doing? You having a nice day? You know, it's simple. But wave to the cars. If the cars were courteous, wave to the cars. If the cars were discourteous, wave to the cars and smile. It's a little passive aggressive, but, you know, it still is a simple way of communicating to a driver that you are a human being on that bicycle and that you are a vulnerable user. And, you know, if we all get friendly with one another, the world would be a better place. Actually, you know my feeling, and I've said this on multiple shows, if everyone would just ride a bike, the world would be a better place. But anyway, let's move on. I got a couple of other little things here. I never even got to the Taipei show, and I'm going to have to pass on it because there's enough interesting new gadgets and weird stuff that came out in the Taipei Bicycle Show last week that it's worth talking about. Some kind of crazy stuff and other things. Boy, it's amazing what you can do with a 3D printer. Enough said. That's my cue for next week. So we will get into this at another time. When I get back from Chicago, I will have another show for you next week, and we can talk about that there. So let's go back to a little bit of bike racing here. What is going on in the bike racing world? Well, everything is going on. Matthew is on fire. Matthew Vanderpoel is just, he is winning one classic after another classic after another classic. Mads Pedersen should be pretty motivated. We get Tour of Flanders coming up this weekend. Tour of Flanders is a really big deal. The other thing we have coming up is the Final Four for the Women's Basketball Championships, which I'm really excited about. I hadn't mentioned it in the show, and I know I'm a basketball nut, but UConn is looking very good, and Paige Beckers just broke the barrier of most points scored in an NCAA championship game, and she scored 40 points the other night against Oklahoma. She was amazing. She was, talk about someone who was on key to everything she was doing. I'm so impressed. She was really, really fun to watch, and she looked like she was just having fun. But anyway, let's go back to the Tour of Flanders and bike racing, because that is coming up this weekend also, as well as my son's wedding. So there's a lot of things going on this weekend. Too many things going on. Anyway, Sean Kelly has some things to say about it, and so I have the classics column. Mads Pedersen should be very motivated. It's going to be Vanderpoel versus Pogacar at the Tour of Flanders. I think that is right, that they're both on top of their game right now. And it's early season. I know that it's early season, but Pogacar is one competitive guy, and Matthew Vanderpoel is the man of the wattage. And if he is in the right place at the right time, I don't know how you stay with him. He's just one of those guys that has just an enormous amount of wattage output. So we'll be watching and see, and hopefully we'll have all that information next weekend, after next weekend. The E3 Saxo Classic, yep, was Matthew. The Jean Wellingham, it's going to be a big thing. The Tour of Flanders is on Sunday, and it's one of the bigger of the classic races that are coming up. And there's just so much going on out there as far as that goes. And let's see here. The Ghent, that's where Pedersen won that one, solo to a victory last weekend. And Matthew Vanderpoel had enough time to lift his bike aloft and walk over the line at last year's Tour of Flanders. Do you think he'll do that again this year? He might. So he's just so strong right now, and it's so impressive to watch him. And it's going to be a very, very interesting race weekend coming up. So I can't wait. It'll be fun. It's always fun. It's always fun. Love the classic races. Love to watch it all. It's all very good stuff. And we will see what's going on next weekend. I've got a lot of other things to distract me next weekend, so I won't be completely glued to it like I usually am because of that. So anyway, let's go on to events. What have I got here? The Giro is coming up soon in Italy. Soon, we'll just leave it at that. But let's go to local stuff here first. That's not local, that's Monterey, California. U.S. Bicycle Market Forum, April 9th to 10th in Monterey, California. The Ride of Silence is back for 2025, and it's May 21st. 7 p.m. everywhere, all over the world, and it's always the third Wednesday in May, and we will have our very own here in Mansfield, and it will be up at the Community Center and Town Hall parking lot. Overflow parking is over at E.O. Smith High School, and that is either 4 or 10 South Eagleville Road in Storrs. And my friend Kevin Mahan has been pushing this for years, and we're getting more and more people to show up each year. So very, very cool. That's what I got right now. There's like I said, the Giro's coming up. I'll talk a little more about that next week. I think I have a whole highlight section. Let's see if I can get that in next week, because it is coming up. And it's getting to be that time of year. It's just classic season. It's also not just classics, but also some of the big grand tours are starting up, which is the Giro is one of those. So there's cool stuff going on. Finishing points. It's 2025. This clip I read last week from our friends at the League of American Bicyclists. Bicycling is freedom. Life is better for everyone when more people ride bikes. The League is making biking an easier and safer option for more people, because when more people bike, people are happier and healthier. Our communities are safer and friendlier, and our planet is greener. Together, we can help more people enjoy know the joy of bicycling. I'm going to say it again. It won't be my last time. You got to get loud. You got to get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, price of gas, and lack of places to safely ride, and do your part. And hey, take the Pedal and Run Challenge. Park your car one day and ride your bike instead. You might surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran, who is off to work today. And if you are watching on Facebook Live, you can always leave comments down here below, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. If you want to contribute information to the show, drop me an email. This is Pedal and Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down, the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs, and WHUS.org. Thanks for listening. Get on your-